Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Josh.
Welcome back. This is Scott.
That's Scott. Yeah. You were having some voice trouble on Sunday. You feeling a little better today on that?
Yeah. It's just the old summer cold.
Yeah.
I get those periodically.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
That's kind of happening. That's kind of around. I feel like during the prayer time, you're hearing a lot of the same.
Yeah.
Not just from you.
It was an active congregation on Sunday.
That's right.
Just pass the water bottle around. We're all sick, so why not?
That's right. Well, glad you did.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, feeling fine, feeling better. Just I hate to cough a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I may cough in this podcast, but I'm recovering. It's okay.
That's right. Well, it was a wonderful day on Sunday and a great sermon. And we have moved on from the first 11 verses of chapter 1, and now we hit the second half.
We did on Sunday.
So let's hear a little overview.
How about that? The whole half of the first chapter
in
one sermon.
In 1 week. And we're moving on to two next time.
Moving on to two.
We just flew over this one. No extra treatment.
Yeah. A lot of ways to structure things when you're reading the Bible and when you're teaching or preaching the Bible. Mm-hmm. And one of the things in the first chapter is you get these days, the significance of days, you know, because Luke is telling us, 40 days that Jesus appeared and then he ascended. And then chapter 2 opens with Pentecost. So if it was 40 days that Jesus was on earth and then he ascended and then it was Pentecost later.
Yep.
Which is
10
which
days.
Is exactly.
Then Pentecost is 50 days.
That's right. And it puts it at a 10-day window. So just trying to understand the timing of all that. So yeah, we spent a sermon in the very significant 10 days between the ascension of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of points I wanted people to get, but I guess an overarching point is that God is active. And that's what we see in the book of Acts. God is active. And so we have a 10-day window. He's active in those 10 days. And in those 10 days, we see the obedience of the apostles. Mm-hmm. They go back, just like Jesus said to do, go back to Jerusalem and wait. But in their waiting, they were also praying and reading the Psalms. And God was showing them through the reading of the Psalms, and particularly Peter, that Judas, the fate of Judas and the replacement of Judas is prophesied about through David in the Psalms. Mm-hmm. God is active. And then they replace him. Matthias replaces Judas. So mm-hmm. Scripture's fulfilled in all of that. So I was just trying to put it out before us here to remember that God is at work. He's got his timing. They were told to wait, but that didn't mean he stopped. And he's getting them ready for Pentecost, which is the next thing. And so we can just practically coming out of those points, we can be exhorted in our obedience. Let's be an obedient people. Let's leave the timing of things up to God.
Yeah.
Let's do what he tells us to do, just like they did. Let's be confident that the scriptures are going to be fulfilled. Where do we end in verse 11? Jesus was taken up into heaven. He will return just as he went up into heaven. He'll come back. Let's be confident.
Yeah.
That scripture is going to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And then waiting, praying and waiting, and the scripture will be fulfilled, and we know that God's doing his work. So
yeah.
That's our exhortation as the church. Let God take care of his timing. Let's do what we're supposed to do.
That's right. Well, it's interesting in there to me that you have Peter talking about Judas. Mm-hmm. And Judas' betrayal of Jesus mm-hmm. as something that was fulfilled by Scripture. And Peter himself was someone who had denied Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you have two guys with very different outcomes. And that's just interesting. And we've had a question kind of thrown in about that. Why is it, or how can it be that you've got one person? What really happened with Judas?
Yeah.
How is it that Peter's reconciled, Judas comes to the end that he comes to, and what's the difference between mm-hmm. those? How should we think about that?
Yeah. Well, I do get questions from time to time, and this is a question that that someone asked and sent to me and asked, what is the difference? So for people, just to get our minds straight on what happened, you know, Judas denied Jesus or betrayed Jesus by helping the religious leaders in the right timing to arrest Jesus in, we could call it, the most efficient manner, away from the crowds, in ways that they would have access to him. And so he sort of sold Jesus out for money. And then he regretted it. He even said in Matthew 27, he said that he sinned and he tried to return the money. But then he immediately went out and hanged himself. And then you have Peter, who the same night denied knowing Jesus. And he was asked three times, aren't you from Galilee? Aren't you one of his followers? No, cursing, no. But then Peter repents and turns to Christ, and Christ turns to him, and Christ pulls him back in and forgives him and restores him.
Yep.
And Peter goes on to be the leading apostle in Jerusalem at the time of Pentecost.
Right.
So what's the difference? And we have to just stay, we could speculate on a lot, but we have to stay with what the Bible tells us. A couple of things on that. You know, one is that Peter's preaching here, and he says that what happened with Judas is that the scriptures are fulfilled, that his place will be desolate, mm-hmm. that no one will return to his place, but another man will replace him in his office. Mm-hmm. So his house is desolate, but his office is replaced. And the desolation of that speaks of judgment. You know, from Psalm 69, it speaks of God's judgment on him. So that's one thing that we can see. And then we can hear Jesus' own words when Jesus is predicting Judas's betrayal. He says it would be better for him if he were not born. So again, that's a statement of judgment.
Yeah.
And then we have Judas's actions. There's no record of Judas ever turning to God after he betrayed Jesus. He went out and hanged himself. There's a despair and a hopelessness and a finality to what he did. It shows us that having a pricked conscience and feeling guilty over our sin is not salvation. It is not faith.
Right.
It's repentance and faith. And we have no record of any of that in Judas' life. So it's just stay with what is written.
Yeah.
And then, but with Peter, we do. Again, we have him denying Jesus. But in fact, one of the Gospels says that when the rooster crowed, which was the timing of it all, you know, Jesus says, before the rooster crows three times, you'll deny me. And three times, and he did. And there's the rooster crow. And one of the Gospels shows us that when that happened, Jesus looks at Peter. He looks at him, and there's a moment there where Peter has to face his sin, but he's also facing a Savior who's going to forgive him of his sin. He also is in great remorse, but he sees his Savior, Jesus, who is about to die on the cross for that very sin. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we see the after cross and after resurrection scenes where Jesus is restoring him at the end of the book of John. So what do we have written? What's the record show? The record shows that Peter repented and turned to Christ, and Christ found him, and he found Christ, and he was restored. So therein lies the difference. It is that the record shows that one felt guilty but did not turn to God and actually fulfilled the scripture of Jesus' betrayal. The other one sinned, felt guilty, felt the shame and the remorse, was found by Christ, turned to Christ, and was restored. Hmm. And for us, it would just mean that God's grace is real and we don't need to spurn it, and we should not give up in hopelessness, and that as sinful people, we should know that Christ died for our sins, and we should turn to Christ for forgiveness of our sins and be restored to him. That would be the message.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. And I think that, stories like this are hard, right?
Yeah.
For us to encounter. I think that, you know, Judas's situation, it would be real easy for us to want to read a lot of things between the lines. Mm-hmm. to give us some kind of sense that he had some kind of, you know, salvation experience that's not included there.
Yeah.
But because the narrative just seems to point so assuredly, even mm-hmm. Peter's talking about mm-hmm. the outcome doesn't mm-hmm. really give us any room to be able to speculate about that.
Right. Yeah, that is correct. You just go with what the text says, and the mm-hmm. text says that he threw the silver down. He knew that he was wrong mm-hmm. For doing what he did. It doesn't ever say that he confessed Jesus as Lord mm-hmm. or even believed that Jesus is Lord.
Right.
He could have just felt that he had sinned because he betrayed a friend. Mm-hmm. But there's no real repentance ever recorded for Judas.
Yeah.
And the way he died in the fulfillment of the scriptures shows that there was the way he dies was judgment upon him.
Yeah.
We just have to go with what is written.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, but now then ask the question, why are we asking the question? We need mm-hmm. to ask the question, why are we asking about this?
Yeah.
Is it because we want to know if we can be forgiven of our sin? Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is if you're alive today and you've sinned against God in a grievous way, which we're all sinners, but if there's something specific that a person is thinking about, oh, I have sinned against God in a grievous way. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're alive today and you're hearing this or you're hearing the message of the gospel, there is time for you to repent of your sin, turn to Christ, be forgiven, be restored, and live the rest of your days walking with Christ. It's a very direct and I don't want to say simplistic, but it is a simple answer.
Yep.
If you're alive today and you wonder if you've sinned a sin that is so grievous that you can't be forgiven, the answer is no. The gospel message is coming to you right now through the word that you read or through this podcast or through the next sermon that you hear or wherever how it comes to you. It's coming to you right now and you're alive and you can repent of your sin and turn to Christ and he'll forgive you.
Yeah.
And restore you.
Yeah.
And you can be confident of that. You can be like Peter.
Yeah, that's right. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for a godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. There's two kinds of grief. People mm-hmm. can feel remorse mm-hmm. for sinful actions, mm-hmm. and they can go through some sort of activity that is not going to lead to their salvation. Mm-hmm. It might, from a worldly standpoint, look like penance or something, right? You might try to spend some money. You might try to do some good to outweigh mm-hmm. your bad. Mm-hmm. But that is not salvation. Mm-hmm. And godly kind of grief is going to bring us to the right place.
Which is Christ.
Yeah, and you got two men who both felt mm-hmm. grief for what they did. Mm-hmm. And one of them went to Jesus and one tried to manage it on his own. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, might that's be right. We never, it. Again, going to the text, there's nothing in the text in the book of Matthew mm-hmm. that tells us that Judas actually came to faith in Christ.
Right.
He felt bad for what he did, but there's no record that he ever turned in repenting faith mm-hmm. to Christ. And in the record of Peter, he did. Mm-hmm. So so Peter had the godly grief, the godly sorrow
yeah.
that led him to turn in repentance to Christ. Judas did not. Hmm. And that's just all we can go with.
Yeah.
But again, the question is why do we ask the question? And it could be we're looking just because it's a theologically interesting point.
Right.
Or it could be that because, you know, people need to know they're carrying something. Have I sinned so far or so much? Does my sin put me out of the reach of God's grace? Did this particular sin put me out of the reach of God's grace? The answer is, if you are alive today and you're hearing the message of the gospel, if you repent of your sin and turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you will be saved. Whoever yep. will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Judas never called on the name of the Lord. You can call upon the name of the Lord.
That's right.
And that is the message. In fact, that will be the message in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the only thing, we're almost out of time, but the only other thing that really stuck out to me that I just really appreciated about this Sunday was the sense of anticipation that you kind of painted a picture for us in that 10 days, that they were so anticipating what Jesus had promised them that is also like you could spook the room, you know, was mm-hmm. kind of the way you painted it. We can't really know exactly what it looked like in the room.
Yeah.
But I love that picture of such an expectation that God is going to do what he has promised, mm-hmm. That they're looking for it and praying about it and anticipating it for that entire 10 days. Is that it? You know, everything is like, is that it?
Yeah.
And I love that idea that, you know, they have a promise from God and they're just looking for it and, mm-hmm. and praying about it and mm-hmm. living like that.
And Josh, that is our obedience. That is, mm-hmm. that is a major part of our obedience. Mm-hmm. Our obedience is, and our obedience is kept by anticipating that God will fulfill his promise.
Yeah.
They were promised the Holy Spirit not many days from now. We are promised, we have the Spirit, and we are promised the return of Christ not many days from now. Mm-hmm. We don't know how many days.
Right.
Theirs was 10. Ours is a lot more than 10.
That's right.
And will continue to be more than likely. We don't know when, but we do know. Mm-hmm. And so we should live in that posture of Christ will return, and let's be obedient to him as good stewards of this manifold grace until he comes. Mm.
That's great. Well, good. Well, I look forward to hearing about chapter 2 on Sunday.
Okay, thanks.